Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friends, we're here. It's Tuesday night, plowing through the week. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. See, now today I'm getting the business out of the way right at the beginning. So much to tackle. Harvey Weinstein, his life has completely come undone in a very short period of time. His wife is leaving him. Of course she is. You can't. This is not the type of scandal where you stick by your man. And she's not obviously pulling any plays from the Hillary Clinton playbook. So she's out. He's off to Europe. There's some interesting tidbits that are coming out about everything that's transpired. And it's just getting uglier. It's getting uglier and uglier as we get through it. One of probably the more important pieces of information to come out, because people are sending, there's emails and emails have been sent back and forth. There's some testimony now, victims of Harvey Weinstein coming forward and talking about this. But what I think is fascinating is this secret tape that was recorded. This was a New York Police Department sting operation. And they were trying to get Harvey Weinstein on tape. And this is because this is a model, not an actress. A model came forward. Her name is Amber Gutierrez. And she came forward. She made a police report. She said that Weinstein touched her inappropriately. And so they gave her some type of recording device, right? She wore a wire, goes in to see him back at his hotel room. And he's in the he's doing exactly what you have heard and I have heard now for days since the New York Times piece dropped. We now have literally like if we were there, you and I. So let's play this really quick. It's a little bit long. Bear with me. It's not always super clear. We've worked hard today to clean this up and make it as crisp as possible. But it's about a minute, a little over a minute and a half. Just listen to this very carefully.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
Don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you.
No, yesterday was a kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing.
I don't want.
Everything, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. 1 minute.
No, I can't.
Please go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
It's not nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now, and 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you touched my wrist.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
Because no, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on, sit here. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass yourself. No.
I know, but yesterday was too much.
The guy's coming. I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's kind of like it's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I
want to
leave.
Okay,
thank you. So there, you heard Harvey Weinstein on a tape. He doesn't know he's being recorded. There is a model by the name of Amber Gutierrez, who the day before had an encounter where apparently he had touched her chest without permission, which in most states is it's a sexual battery. Yeah, the harmful or offensive touching without privilege or consent. That's the definition of a battery. It's a crime. And guess what? He admits to it, right? He says, you know, she says to him, I think the purpose of it was to get corroboration for her her charges, her police report that she filed. And he goes, hey, you know, please come in 1 minute, come in 1 minute. And she goes, well, why yesterday did you touch my breast? And Weinstein says, you heard this. Oh, please. I'm sorry. Just come on in. I'm used to that. And then you can hear in her voice, it's incredulous. She goes, you're used to that? Yes, he says, come in. It's crazy. So what's the million-dollar question? Why didn't he get charged? It's very simple. Hey, this is New York. And there's prosecutorial discretion. A prosecutor gets to decide what charges are filed and what charges are not filed. And prosecutors decline to prosecute cases all the time. It happens all the time. And sometimes, not just sometimes, often, it's based on factors that shouldn't matter but do. So we don't know for sure. The DA at the time, his name was Cyrus Vance. And before anybody tells me, oh, it didn't go up all the way to the district attorney. Of course it did. I mean, this is Harvey Weinstein. It's literally one of the most famous people in New York. And that's saying something. So he's there. And I think at this time he's a resident of New York. So it's extra creepy, right? The guy, imagine you live in New York. You have an office in New York and you're having meetings out of a hotel. I mean, this is creepy, right? Creepy behavior. But the DA doesn't prosecute it because he's gotten political contributions from Harvey and he's a huge Democrat. It's New York City. Of course, everyone's a Democrat. And that's what I meant yesterday about political power when I said that the reason that Harvey's world crumbled now, today. I said part of the reason there is, you know, it's Hillary. Hillary didn't make it. She's not president. I saw somewhere an infographic. This is how misleading, by the way, the media is. I saw an infographic today on CNN that showed a number of Democratic politicians and the amount of cash contributions that they received from Harvey Weinstein. And it had Hillary, I think, close to the top of the list, if not at the very top. And it was somewhere around $30,000, and everybody else received far less than that. You're shaking your head, right? Of course you're shaking your head because it's absurd. He gave millions to the Clinton Foundation, millions. You know, Cyrus Vance, the DA there, purportedly got $10,000. By the way, did get a contribution from, as it turned out, Harvey Weinstein's attorney, right around the time that these charges were dropped. That probably needs to be investigated, no? But when you think about giving millions to a future president of the United States, can you see how this would have gone? His studio starts to get some grief about, you know, the story in the New York Times. Let's say the story gets published, right? They start to get some blowback. And Harvey's able to call, can you imagine? The pervert in chief, Bill Clinton, and he's the first man at this point. His wife is president. He calls up Bill. He says, Bill, you got to make this go away. You don't think that for, you know, $5-10 million that Bill Clinton started calling some favors, calling top studio execs? This thing could have gone totally differently. So what this really illustrates to me, that here we have a recording where you and I, and we're, you know, you're not an investigator. You know, this is not, you know, what you do. I'm listening to this with my investigative ear. But I think we both can come to the same conclusion, which is this is horrifying. He sounds like a guy that does this all the time, right? He's got this down to a well-oiled craft. And I probably be careful about using that expression. No, I mean, he's basically inviting her to come in and watch him shower. You caught that, right? He says here in the beginning, hold on, we're going to the transcript. He says, nothing. Okay, Gutierrez says, what do we have to do here? And Weinstein goes, nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. You know, it's so weird too, right? Can you imagine? Would you ever want? I like women. Okay. Now I'm just trying to picture myself inviting a woman into my hotel room and saying, hey, you sit there and just watch me shower. I think that's weird. I don't get it. So maybe somebody can explain that to me. I gave you the number earlier. On second hand, please don't. Don't call. I'm not interested. But this is, it shows a pattern and a practice. The other thing that this shows is, yeah, I mean, it is almost exactly to the T, the type of encounter that's been described by these other stars that have come forward, and famous stars. So what this is, if you were dealing with a criminal investigation or even a lawsuit, what you have here is a powerful piece of corroborating evidence. It shows that there is a pattern. It shows that it's happened somewhere before. And it's in his own words, which is particularly damning. The shockwaves from this are going to be huge. And I will follow it here, obviously, very, very closely as this disaster unfolds. Now, I do want to talk today too about Las Vegas, and I'm going to need a little bit more time here, so we'll talk about this in the next segment as well. But here's the interesting thing. You heard yesterday the big news about Las Vegas and the shooting there is the timeline. It's fallen apart. See, originally we were told that Paddock gets up there in his room, he sets up. And it doesn't really matter. Was he there 4 days? Was he there 3 days? Was he there five? It's not the issue. But he sets up in his room, and at some point, he begins shooting. And when he begins shooting out the windows, right, at the poor people down below, he is interrupted. He's interrupted by a security guard who's armed with nothing more than some baton and a walkie-talkie. And this security guard, his name is Jesus Campos. And we're told that Jesus Campos is the hero. He gets there. He basically interrupts the shooting and prevents further loss of life. But now it turns out it's exactly not the case. It's exactly opposite. Campos got to the room before Paddock began shooting out at the crowd. So we know that the first shots fired out at the crowd are about 10:05. And Campos got shot by Paddock going to the room at least 10 minutes before. So we'll say roughly 9:55. Now, this is all hugely important. And it's not, well, it's important because what happened in those 10 minutes? If your loved one perished, if you lost, you know, if you're blind today because of a bullet that whizzed through your head because of this insane man, you've got to be sitting here wondering what could have happened if those 10 minutes were used to stop him. And that really is the million. This is here the big deal that this is why this matters. I'm less concerned with, there's a lot of conspiracy theories already floating out about there. And a lot of them are just, it's just hogwash. It's silly stuff. But this to me is a very, very important development. Because again, I'm looking at it. We're already getting the calls. You know, at the firm, we're getting calls from people that have perished. And the people are asking, right, what's our recourse? You know, what kind of recourse? And so I'm looking at this thing, and I want to kind of take it apart because so many people are asking me about this. What happens in cases like this? And it's not just about the 10 minutes. In fact, it's about the days leading up to this incident. I mean, you've got a guy that is going into his hotel room in and out, in and out, in and out, and he's carting up at least a minimum of 10 suitcases packed to the hilt with firing power. Big, heavy suitcases. And these hotels, so I'm gonna, I don't know if you know this, I'm an attorney in Las Vegas, in Nevada, so these casinos, they are trained. I mean, they have people, all of their security personnel get trained by very sophisticated firms. They get trained by counterterrorism specialists. I mean, this is a mass casualty incident of this type is not something that is unforeseen. These security people in the hotel are taught to keep their eyes open, their ears open, to report suspicious behavior. You've got a guy who has a do not disturb sign on his door for 3-4 days straight, lugging up heavy stuff. Nobody said anything. Now, I'm going to talk more about this. All right, so I'll be back right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the still a little smoky Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. That's right. We're getting through it, though. I know that some folks here at the office who've been evacuated, it's just been evacuated. I'm hoping tomorrow they start to come home. I know a couple people have, and still some people waiting to go back. It's frightening. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything worse than leaving your home and thinking I may never see this again. What year was it? I was eighth grade. So it would have been maybe 94, 93, 94. We had fires that came all the way down, basically, you know, about five doors up the street from me, ended at a road. And we were evacuated for the night. We spent a night in the car because all the hotels were booked. It was just terrifying. I mean, I was old enough, certainly, to not I wasn't a child, but I still remember that. It was vividly the fear of putting together a few valuables. You can't fit everything in your car. And you're not going to call a moving truck. So you just, you know, my dad had like a GMC Jimmy, and we just threw everything that we could in the back of it that meant anything, left a lot of stuff behind and left and didn't know what we were going to come back to. It was the Laguna Fire, I think is what it was called, and did terrible things up in Laguna. But on my side, we somehow survived. So anyway, it's October in California, and this is what happens. Well, speaking of terrible things, the Las Vegas shooting, as these facts come out about the timeline, as we find out that, in fact, the security guard got shot first 10 minutes before Paddock begins shooting at the crowd, it raises the question, right? What happened in those 10 minutes? I mean, the security guard knew that he'd been shot. I'm gonna take a wild stab at it and say he knew he was shot. He got a man with a gun, right, in a hotel, and he knows where it happened, right? He knows it's there on the 32nd floor, he knows what room, and he can identify it. And he's in touch with dispatch and the police almost instantly. He has a radio, he has a telephone in the hallway. And so he reports it. So what happens in those 10 minutes? I assume that in those 10 minutes, Paddock is up there in the room frantically getting ready to commit this mass murder atrocity. So what are the cops doing? What's the hotel doing? What did the hotel not do? And the correct question, right? People are saying, well, Sam, we don't know. And you're right. We don't know. I'll tell you, as a lawyer, I don't know enough of whether to tell you, and I've told this to clients, I don't know enough whether there is a case. But you almost, at this point, will have to file a lawsuit to find out, to get the information, to extract the information from law enforcement, to force their hand. It's called discovery. You have to file a lawsuit, and then the court gives your attorney, in fact, gives you the power through your attorney, to request documents. You basically can use the court's power to get information, as if, I don't know, almost like a subpoena that law enforcement would use, of sorts. And that's really where this is going to go, and this is why I think you'll see victims begin to file lawsuits, because they're going to want to have some answers. And I said, for example, the whole idea of a guy being holed up in a room, I've asked a couple people that I know who manage hotel properties. It's actually pretty unusual to have somebody put up a do not disturb sign for 3-4 days straight. It's unusual. Not unheard of, but it is unusual. And there's a protocol. Every person I talk to has a protocol for what to do when that happens. And they want to sniff around. Are there drugs? Are there prostitution? Is there something dangerous? Are they cooking meth in the room? Right? Things that could harm other guests. And the hotel has a duty to protect other guests from harm. And in that sense, what the lawsuit will come down to is, did they violate that duty? Did they overlook or turn a blind eye even to warning signs that this guy was up to something bad? I don't know. But as time will unfold and as we get more answers, I think we will. All right. Don't go anywhere. We've got John Wolfe with the straight skinny on the news, and I'll be back after that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are coming to you from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. All right, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. If you'd like to be on the program this evening, give me a call. A reminder that we are here now, starting this week, 2 hours. So the show is not over at 8 o'clock. It goes another hour. So stay with us for more Sam Nation enjoyment and delight. Yes. No, they haven't forgotten. The Democrats are not giving up on gun control. They're hot and heavy on it still. Although there's been a lot of other news happening lately that has overshadowed it. Nancy Pelosi today, she had something to say about, remember bump stocks? It's been like a couple days we haven't talked about bump stocks. This is the device that Paddock used that essentially mimics a automatic fire feature on a semi-automatic rifle. Now, semi-automatic might sound scary to you. I've explained this before. It's not. Semi-automatic is a regular rifle, regular pistol. They're semi-automatic. And this bump stock is something that it's a cheap little part. It's made of plastic. You could make one in your garage with the right equipment. The Democrats are out to ban them because that is going to solve the problem. No. Meaningless virtue signaling. And here is Nancy Pelosi today talking about bump stocks. And gosh, is she even pronouncing it right? I don't think she's even, listen to this.
They're going to say, if you give them bump stock, it's going to be a slippery slope. I certainly hope so. But I don't think bump stock should be a substitute for the background check. And by the way, the background check is a compromise. There are many more things members want to do. And we're saying, how do we save the most lives?
How do we save the most lives? Bump stock. She sounds crazy. I mean, remember, this is whenever you talk to anybody about bump stocks, understand that this is a part that there are already tens of thousands of them out there. They're out there in the wild. And you're not going to ever recall them all. So there's always going to be a black market in bump stocks. But even if there wasn't, even if you were able to confiscate every single one of them, you can make it with a 3D printer. And 3D printers used to be this crazy, technology not that long ago. But it's just not anymore. You can buy one, you can pick one up on Amazon and put it in your garage or inside your house, buy material, and next thing you know, you are making as many bump stocks as you want to your heart's delight. No registration, nothing, Zippo, you can make one of your own. Would it have stopped Paddock? And the answer is that a rich guy, or at least a reasonably wealthy man, with enough resources to buy that many guns, has enough money to buy a $1,500 printer. So the answer is no, and it's meaningless. And to that extent, it's just funny and interesting to watch. Now, yes, talking about going back a little bit here to the change in timeline. We had the sheriff there in Nevada say, "Look, hey, you know, the guy turns out that the security guard was shot 10 minutes earlier." Than previously reported. He was shot 10 minutes before even Paddock began firing out at the crowd, which means law enforcement, presumptively, and certainly the hotel, had 10 minutes notice that there was a guy that was armed that was willing to shoot somebody. Right? That's a crucial thing. Not just a guy carrying a gun, but a guy that had discharged a weapon and shot at and hit somebody. Well, the sheriff is just saying, hey, we just came up with new information. That's what he's saying. Hey, we're just this investigation is unfolding. But my question that I'm asking is, how did this just come up now? How did it just come up now? And I think the only answer to that is, well, I get into it. It has to do with the cameras. It has to do with clocks, cameras and clocks. And a problem that every family has. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Brzoski, Sam Nation, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Brzoski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, Tuesday night. And, well, normally, right around this time, I would talk about Sweet James, my friend, my lawyer, attorney Sweet James Bergener. And, I'd be talking to you about different things of what to do in an accident. But, you know, let me just step back from this a little bit. You know how I always say that it's important to not go at it alone, that you don't want to fight the insurance company on your own. And this is exactly when we're talking about the context, in the context of these This horrible, terrible tragedy that happened in Las Vegas. And we see that maybe, look, 10 minutes, lost 10 minutes. What could have happened if the guy, the Stephen Paddock guy, were stopped just 5 minutes sooner? Because his entire rampage lasted 12 minutes. So from the time that you had the security guard shot and alerted that a guy with a gun is in the hotel and he's not afraid to kill, to the time that the last bullet was fired, we're talking about 22 minutes. See, MGM, I think, has some explaining to do. But you see how if you're a victim here, how do you begin to fight against a company as big as MGM? How do you fight the police? How do you fight any large entity that is more powerful than you are? And the reality is you always need, when you're in a fight like that, you need somebody in your corner. It doesn't matter if the fight is large or small. Remember this, you want to make sure you've got somebody in your corner. So I'm just, you know, it's almost a great example of what I talk about here every night when I talk about Sweet James, how you don't want to, you've got to have somebody behind you that knows what they're doing. So I'll give the phone number 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Give Sweet James a call if you've been hurt, if you're injured. And again, if you don't want to go at things alone, you don't want to do that. So again, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And you can also visit his website, sweetjames.com. Well, the other thing, too, that is baffling is that Las Vegas PD was inside the hotel at the time of the shooting. They were there on another call, which is, I mean, it's not even difficult to believe, right? These are huge. If you've ever been to the Mandalay Bay, it's an enormous property, lots and lots of rooms. It's a weekend. It's a weekend night. So, of course, there's going to be trouble. Of course, there's going to be somebody who's gotten drunk or somebody who's hit somebody or some type of trouble like this. And you also expect, by the way, don't you, in, when you're there in Las Vegas, you expect when you're on the strip that the police are everywhere. How frightening is it, right? If I live in suburbia, I don't live in the middle of Las Vegas, what, or in the middle of any city. I live in suburbia. How long is it going to take the cops to come to my house if I call 911? Right? This is actually turning this whole thing around into a pro-gun argument for legal gun ownership. Right? I got somebody who's trying to break into my house, somebody that is armed and dangerous, a home invasion robbery. And I'm supposed to what? Call the cops, press the little button on my security system keypad, and hope to goodness that the police show up in 10 minutes, 21 minutes, or whatever it is? God help me. No, this is where you want good people with guns, because there's plenty of bad people out there with guns. But in this particular case, essentially, you've got, the police have some explaining to do. And the casino provided this guy with the sniper's nest. And he goes up there, and he does what he does, and he does it completely undetected. And my very suspicious, questioning, cynical mind always goes to this somebody saw something. Something must have been apparent. And when I talk about the cameras and the timing last segment, what I was referring to is the hotel's cameras are all out of sync. The clocks are all wrong. So they're trying to line up. It's hilarious. They're trying to, and it would be hilarious if it wasn't tragic. They're trying to figure out when different people came into the room, and they can't because every camera is on a different clock and nothing's adding up. Ridiculous. Terrible. Horrible. But it explains some of the confusion. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I have one final observation for today about Harvey Weinstein, and it has nothing to do with Harvey Weinstein at all. Did you see starting yesterday, maybe last week a little bit, there's some talk of Disney CEO Bob Iger. Have you heard about this? Talk about him running in 2020 as a Democrat opposing Trump. And he's, you know, the usual denials, right? He's not really sure, but he certainly is talking about politics. He's adamant that he's going to be stepping down from the company before the election. And he seems to be doing interviews publicly that have him really, he's testing the water. That's what he's doing. And he sounds good and he looks good. And yeah, just the little I've seen so far, he could be a formidable opponent. But that all was before Harvey Weinstein broke. And this Harvey Weinstein story is not good for anyone in Hollywood. Literally anyone in Hollywood, especially somebody as big who's as the head of Disney. Everybody knew about this. Everybody knew somebody that knew someone that had been molested, raped, assaulted, treated poorly by this guy. This went on for 30 years. This is not just some, you know, couple of times, you know, summer before last. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, she was the big names, big actors, right? These are all people who were, you know, and they were fearful. If you want to get an idea of how scary Weinstein is, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, and others, right? These are big names. Terrified. Well, oh, no, no. Sweet James would go up. You heard Jillian just now. Sweet James would go up against Harvey Weinstein. Absolutely. Mano a mano. Take him down. Yeah, no, no doubt. But I'm giving you this illustration, and I'm telling you that now it'll be interesting to see if Iger steps into this and he wants to start getting political. And, you know, because Disney and Miramax, I mean, they've done deals together. They know each other. This could end up being very, very sticky. Yeah, this is the stink that is on everyone, every big Democrat out of Hollywood right now. They were all in bed with Harvey Weinstein, right? Meanwhile, the worst kept secret in town is how he was treating women. It's very difficult to run as a Democrat when you have a bad record of treating women. Anyway, I will see how that plays out, but it is an interesting observation. And people not really connecting the dots there. All right, when we come back after the break, you'd think that with all this news right now, that CNN would have something interesting to talk about. They're talking about Trump's tweets. And it's so bad, it's sad. It's so bad, it's sad. And North Korea, there's big things happening in North Korea. You want to hear about this. I'm definitely talking about it. Don't go anywhere. John Wolf up next with the news. Back after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Second hour of goodness. Here we go. Well, an enormous show of force. I don't think you realize quite what this is. The U.S. military, Secretary Mattis, has directed that we fly our top shelf supersonic bombers very close to the Korean Peninsula. And it's significant because Little Rocket Man, a.k.a. Kim Jong-un, a.k.a. Mop Top, specifically threatened us that if we sent bombers anywhere near the Korean Peninsula, kaboom, kaboom, and they'd shoot him down. So this is a provocation. I almost read this as almost a... We trying to pick a fight? I mean, it's all about the strategy. Of course, they're calling his bluff, and North Korea hasn't shot the planes down. But when you think about this as in terms of chess, every month that goes by that they are able to continue with their program of rocket ballistic missile technology development and nuclear development and all this. I mean, they're just every month, every year that goes by, they're closer to being untouchable. They're closer to having an intercontinental nuclear weapon, which is that's the big deal here. That's the rub. We do not want to give Mop Top an intercontinental missile that can carry a nuclear bomb. So, and we don't know. I mean, there's talk that they've miniaturized the warhead. There's talk that they, you know, we've seen these missiles that are being fired. They're being fired. They're going far, far, you know, distances. So if you're Trump, if you're Mattis strategically, you probably think, look, if we're going to fight these guys, sooner the better. Because every bit of time that elapses allows them to dig deeper trenches, allows them to develop and strengthen their military, and puts their missile program arguably further down an already very accelerated path. Now, the other bit of news complementing this show of force of these strategic bombers being sent out very near the North Korean coast is that reportedly North Korean hackers have stolen our war plans. I hope this isn't true. So yeah, they apparently hackers from North Korea were able to penetrate the servers somewhere in South Korea. And since we have some joint plans, you know, like we want to know where they're going to go and where we're going to go and what hats we're wearing and what hats they're wearing. No, it's not like that. But you get the idea. There's coordination. And I don't know. Does it look like a board game? No, I don't think it, not like a, no, but there's very detailed flow charts of how these things work. I'm out of my depth on this, but Robbie's in there. Am I right? Is that kind of how they look? Okay. Well, we have our resident veteran who knows what he's talking about. So at any rate, that it's apparently been stolen. And by the way, you haven't heard boo about this in the mainstream press. I mean, they're busy talking about Trump's tweets, and we're going to get to that here in a bit. But do you know why? I have a theory on this. Because, by the way, if Russia stole the blueprints for the congressional toilets, I mean, we would be calling, the left would be calling for an invasion of Russia right now. No, if, honestly, if... No, I'm telling you, right now, if Moscow had stolen the In-N-Out secret sauce recipe, we would have the media calling for World War III. That's what I've been hearing. Oh, the Russians, attempted hack of our investment. We ought to be on war footing with Russia. You know, bring me some Russian scalps, says everyone in the media. And here, North Korea steals our battle plans and nothing. Zip. It's crickets. And you know why? Because I think secretly the left is relieved. They're relieved. They're going, oh, good. I'm glad they have our battle plans, because now this will keep that maniac Trump from starting World War III. See how this works? If Trump wants to do something wrong, can't do it, don't do it, it's bad, it's terrible, must be stopped at all costs. But if they think something, better yet, I got ahead of myself. If Trump doesn't want to do anything, if he says why be hostile with Russia? We should work things out. Then immediately everybody's calling for Russia's head. So anyway, if this is in fact true, it's a bit of a problem. So what is all the media talking about? I've got to find this tweet. You know how yesterday I talked to you about Tillerson, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, the embattled, allegedly embattled Secretary of State. In fact, people are starting in the media to talk about these cabinet positions, these people that were working inside the Trump White House, as being somehow abused. So I maybe ought to say, instead of embattled, I should say battered. Battered. No, really. I mean, that's how it's being described. He's the poor, Trump being the big bully. He's picking on people. He's belittling them. That's a big term right now, belittling them. And it's all because, Trump said a tweet about something about IQ. Right? I mentioned yesterday how, supposedly Tillerson had said in a meeting at the Pentagon that Trump was a moron. And so Trump puts out has some statement, says something about, well, you know what, I believe it's fake news. I don't believe it. But if he did say that, if he did say it, then, we should both take IQ tests and I would come out on top, clearly. And the press has gone into meltdown mode over this. They are literally melting in place. I got some good audio of this. I'll give you first. It came up during the press conference today. Everybody's asking, how could Trump do this? How can he say such a thing? How can he belittle a sitting Secretary of State? Of course, nobody's asking the other question, right? is it okay for a sitting Secretary of State to call his president a moron? Right? Nobody's asking that. You know why? Because everyone in that room is guffaw, Trump is a moron. And it's what they're all talking about. Swirling their fancy, you know, cocktails and drinking their IPA lagers or whatever they are in their beer gardens in Manhattan and in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. And they're all convinced that Trump is a dummy. And this is why I love Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is nailing it, by the way, nailing it as a press secretary. And she just brushes it off saying Trump was joking. Listen to what she says.
The president certainly never implied that the Secretary of State was not incredibly intelligent. He made a joke, nothing more than that. He has full confidence in the Secretary of State.
After this press conference, CNN spent 3 hours this afternoon. I know, because I actually watched it with the TV on mute as I was doing work. 3 insufferable hours dissecting how Sarah Huckabee Sanders is now basically in the same territory as her predecessor, Senor Spicer. Ah, she's lost all credibility, all of this, and I am sitting there. I'm sitting here watching this, and my mouth is dropping. And I'm going, Trump, this is classic Trump. It's classic Trump, but not belittling Trump. This is Trump being funny. But and then immediately I began thinking about this. And I think, you know, well, this is it. This is the at every juncture, the press absolutely does not, they don't give him any credit, and they totally misunderstand him. Gloria Borger was on CNN Out Front with Aaron Burnett. And it's talking about his sense of humor. Now, you know, you've watched Trump. You've watched him at the rallies. You've seen him now in the public eye, on the campaign trail. What has it been now? 2 years. And you understand, hey, even if you don't like him, you understand that he is connecting with people. Am I wrong? Of course I'm not. He's connecting with people. And so here is Gloria Borger talking about how Trump is not good at jokes. Listen to this.
We all know this isn't a president who's really got a great sense of humor. He's not that great at telling a joke, at least not publicly. And, you know, I mean, they always say that he's joking when they're trying to sort of push something aside. When he said that Obama created ISIS, when he asked Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails and on, they say, oh, the president was just joking. This is his way of getting in the last word against Rex Tillerson, whom he was angry at.
So wrong. Again, this is why you listen to this program. Let me translate Trump for you. It was a joke. It was a joke. It was funny. It was funny to me. And I think I'm a pretty funny guy. Producer Robbie laughed. But I promise to God, I swear that when Trump said that Obama created ISIS, he was joking. Okay? And if you think that Trump was actually serious, that you're worse than, I mean, this is, you've lost your mind. And it's relevant to everything going on in the world right now with the scary North Korea situation, because the libs think that this is bad signaling. They think that this is weakness. And I need to explain to you how it's not. Listen to this. There's a guy that right after Borger gets on, and this is where he's talking about Asians. He means North Koreans. Wink, wink. And Drucker, who's with the Washington Examiner, talks about how this isn't good, like all this joking, quote unquote, with Trump, because we're sending the wrong signals. And you know what? These Asians don't know what he's doing and don't get it and can't read him. Listen to this. It's very important.
I think the danger in ridiculing Rex Tillerson, even if the president really was joking, is that Our adversaries and allies around the world still don't know how to read this president, particularly in Asia, where saving face is so important. Yep. And they don't have this kind of sense of humor. We're involved in some very sensitive negotiations, or at least an attempt to negotiate a stand down with this North Korea crisis, working with China. I don't think the North Koreans and the Chinese and others in the region understand this kind of sense of humor, if that's what it was.
If that's what it was. You know, I'm perfectly okay. I don't know about you, but I'm perfectly okay if the North Koreans can't read my president. This conflict that we have with them, and it is a conflict. They are building weapons of mass destruction with which they intend to act aggressively. How do we know that? Oh, I don't know. They're shooting missiles at Japan as we speak. We've already done the whole lay all of our cards out on the table and hope that the North Koreans and the Chinese just play nice with us. Kim, Mop Top, he's played every president of ours in the past, including the Republicans, like a fiddle. He's had his way with us. We are dopes. And I don't trust these media hacks one bit to tell me, to translate for me, what this is and how this is and what you remember that tweet, the Tillerson tweet? This is why it all matters. When Trump said, oh, something the effect of, hey, Rex, you know, hey, good job on the diplomacy, but I think we need to move on to plan B. And in this segment, they belittled the belittling. They said, well, that's Trump just belittling Rex Tillerson. I didn't read it that way at all. I remember where I was. I was actually at the gym trying to get in a little bit of physical exercise so I don't look like Harvey Weinstein. And there I am, and this tweet comes up, and I'm like, hey, brilliant. Because what it signals, that tweet, believe me, the North Koreans are on Trump's Twitter. And what it signals to the North Koreans is, hey, yeah, Trump's like, hey, we're done talking. We're done talking here. Because you know what happened? They probably started talking to the North Koreans because that's the reasonable thing to do. And we're getting nowhere. And that was Trump's way of signaling to the world, enough. Enough of you Kokomo Jokomos. We're done with you bozos. And we're next step is military. And that's why these supersonic jets that I was talking about are flying on the coast of North Korea. This is why you have Mattis giving speeches to the U.S. Army right now. Be ready, guys. Get ready. Probably nothing will happen, but be on the ready. It's all part of it's a game. And these libs are just too stuck in sour land to understand what Trump is up and about, all about. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So, yes, I think that Trump uses his Twitter. Absolutely, uses his Twitter to send messages abroad. And the fact that the media is obsessing about whether or not the North Koreans and the Chinese understand his humor is totally irrelevant and beside the point. Trump's instincts here are spot on. It's a head fake. It's a head fake, and it's okay. Well, you heard this here, David Drucker talking about, oh, we still don't know how to read this president. I guess meaning him and his fellow press corps. But particularly in Asia, where saving face is important, they don't have this kind of sense of humor. We're involved in some very sensitive negotiations. And I don't think the North Koreans and the Chinese and others in the region understand this. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I don't give a rat's rear end if they understand the president. In fact, I'd prefer if they didn't. I think our problem is that if for now, for the better part of 30 years, the Chinese and the North Koreans have understood our presidents too well They've scanned them, read them, and figured out they're weaklings. They're easily bamboozled. They're spineless nitwits who just want, like Neville Chamberlain, peace in our time. And will do anything for it. They will give North Korea money. I mean, this all has happened. They'll give North Korea money. They'll give them supplies. They'll give them anything they ask for. If only you pretty please, you nice communists, if you just please don't create any more weapons of mass destruction. It's absurd. If I put this in the context of dealing with kids, so I think almost everything, I'm a parent, anything in life can be brought back to, I don't know, a day in the life of what happens in my living room. The kid, well, you think that if a kid has a behavior problem, whatever it is, it could be laziness, doesn't do their homework, doesn't make their bed. What do you, did you say, Johnny? My case, Daniel. Do I say Daniel? Daniel, I really, yeah, Kid Jung-un. Daniel, I really want you to make your bed. And so you know what? I'm gonna raise your allowance $2 a week. I'm gonna raise, and you know what else, Daniel? I really want you to make your bed. So I'm, you know what? You can have that sleepover this weekend. Oh, and you know that video game you want to watch? Go ahead and play. You want to go play that? Play that, please. 10 hours on Saturday. But you just have to promise me, Daniel, that you're going to make your bed. Can you do that? You're going to promise me to do that? Okay, by the way, if you're a parent and you actually think that's a good strategy, I don't know what to tell you. From my experience, your kids are better than mine. From my experience, that's not Realville, okay? Yes, yeah, you can do positive reinforcement. Of course. But you got to... It's reinforcing a good behavior. And this is classic establishment political thinking. Liberals especially pray for a result. It's like gun control. They pray for the result that they're going to make the world safer. And then they come up with a completely meaningless plan. Legislation of how to get there. And the same is with diplomacy, the diplomacy that's being described by the media talking about North Korea. It's failed. All of this has failed. It has failed catastrophically. And so, yeah, I'm willing to give a guy like Trump a chance to act decisively and at least to freak Kim Jong-un out. I want Mop Top to sweat a little bit. And what's your advantage in this type of a negotiation? What's his advantage? What's Mop Top's advantage? That he's unpredictable. That he's, well, we don't know. Is he a rational actor? Is he not? I mean, we have trouble reading Kim Jong-un, right? Don't we? That's a big part of this discussion. What's he going to do? How's he going to react? Well, good. It's like a game of chess. I want them to be just as concerned about our guy. Gosh, and this is an example of why you have these really ostensibly intelligent people writing and speaking in the media, and they have no idea what they're talking. Just no idea about practical, common sense life. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We got John Wolf up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 837, and rolling right along. You could even say rolling deep. I'm going to talk about Bill Clinton. That's why I say that. Bill Clinton. You know, yesterday news broke that Bill Clinton took Hillary Clinton's manuscript, the one that she wrote about this. The What Happened book manuscript, and redlined the whole thing. He went through it with the, you know, with the red pen, and gave her a lot of what I'm assuming is very good advice. And he wanted it to not sound so whiny and so shockingly lost. And you know what Hillary did with all that? She threw it in the garbage can. She threw it in the trash. Well, today, we find out that the two of them, apparently, according to well-placed sources, have not spoken to each other since. So By the way, you guys know how explosive Hillary Clinton's temper is. I mean, she's famous for this. She'll give one, she'll have her plastic smile, and, you know, and, oh, hello, hello, how are you? And the doors will close, and then F-bombs and four-letter words go flying. I'm not talking about A-money monies. I'm saying, like, the real words, you know, the dirty words. She swears like a sailor. So, at any rate, yeah, they're not talking. And I think, by the way, I've always said this. It was always a marriage of convenience, of political necessity. I mean, she couldn't leave Bill behind. I mean, Bill, to her, you know, she had to be the long-suffering, you know, wife that stood by the guy and trudged through and keep together a nuclear family. And I'd be very interested to see what happens now. I've always suspected if she lost the race, it's Splitsville for the Clintons. Well, Bill has a girlfriend. They call her, the Secret Service detail call her the Energizer Bunny. And apparently she's really nice, which is why they like her. Bill's Secret Service loves his girlfriend because she's a babe. You know, I saw pictures of her, easy on the eyes, and she bakes them cookies and is really nice. And, you know, Hillary Clinton probably throws poo. I mean, we've had the Secret Service agent on the program during the election. One of the Secret Service agents posted outside the White House. Gary Byrne was on this program and told us exactly what happened when he was in the White House. How Hillary one time took a vase and hit Bill over the head with it, and he got a shiner, gave him a black eye. And the Secret Service hated her. I mean, she treated them like garbage. Just you don't do. You got people that are helping you, and in this case, you know, protecting your life for Pete's sake. And what do you do? What do you do in your head? You treat them like garbage. Great idea, Hillary. So this we, speaking of taking a bullet, we dodged a bullet. Okay, we this woman could have been our president. Every day I wake up, I have a little ritual. I wake up, I open my eyes. I check for my vital signs. You know, am I still alive? Okay, good. And then usually the first, second, or third thought that pops into my head after I wake up is, oh my God, Trump is president. Thank goodness. Because the alternative, I mean, this was the alternative. So when you have the media talking about Trump alienating his cabinet and talking down to people and everything, what a load of garbage. The people closest to Hillary can't stand her. Literally cannot stand the woman. Her own husband is not talking to her. Tried to give her good advice, and she literally took his advice and threw it in the garbage. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, have you ever been hurt? Have you ever had an injury happen to you and wondered, you know, I've got these medical bills over here. They're stacking up. I've got to see some specialist that isn't covered by my health plan. This Obamacare thing that I have sucks donkey, and I can't pay for all of this. Meanwhile, some idiot, you know, hit you, you know, rear-ended you with their car, right? And their insurance company is calling you and offering you $500. You're going, throwing your hands up. What do I do? It's easy. Don't try doing it alone. Call Attorney Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on this program, to get you sorted out. And that's the most important thing. The insurance companies, these big corporations, they don't know who you are. They have no idea. They don't. You're just a number. But they know who Sweet James is. They know his firm. And they will listen to them. So let him do the talking for you. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Call Sweet James. Get a free consultation. No recovery, no fee. You don't pay a dime, a penny, a farthing, anything. Not even a bushel of who knows what until he settles your case and gets you the money that you deserve. All right? That easy. Also, he has a website. If you're kind of weird about calling somebody and you don't know what they look like, check him out on the website, sweetjames.com. You'll see he has a beard. He's a very nice guy, very friendly smile, and I think you'll really like him. All right, Sweet James, 800-881-2021. Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And remember, speaking of Sweet James, you know, he's a winner. He's a killer. He's a winner. He goes after it. If he's on your team, you're going to win. Remember when Trump during the campaign, again, this was humor. I have to, a little disclaimer for the liberals out there in the audience. I know, friends, just bear with me. I want to bring everybody up to speed. I don't want to leave anyone in the dust. This is like it's like a handicapped access. You know, you got to just bring everybody up to speed here. So to all you liberals, he's joking, right? It was humor when he said, "You guys, there's going to be so much winning." Do you remember him doing this bit at the rallies? There's going to be so much winning. You're going to be sick of all the winning. Remember that? Okay. Well. Oh, you know who's not sick of winning is Roger Goodell. They're caving. The NFL is literally bending over and taking it from Trump right now. And they're considering a rule change that just came out today. They're going to tweak the current rules to make it to allow team owners to be able to punish players who don't stand for the anthem. So, you know all that nonsense of unity. You know what? Well, that's what it became. Everybody took a stand against Trump. Jerry Jones, my Cowboys. I don't even care about sports that much, but they're America's team. So I adopted them. I love them. But that day when Jerry Jones got up there before the anthem, ooh, okay, it's before the anthem, it wasn't, and got up there in that silly-looking Robin's Nest Egg blue blazer that he had on. Weird blazer. So gets out there, locks arms with his players. They all take a knee, and he's grinning like some idiot. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, why? You're going to end up with egg on your face. Well, Robin's Nest Egg blue, sure enough, egg on his face and obviously on his jacket, for accounting for the color. This is it. Because I know some of you are new, and you've we got the second hour and you're new to the program, but I said from the get-go that Trump took the side smartly. This is a great political move. He stood on the side of the flag, and the flag is a symbol that should be one that unites us, not divides us. And he correctly took the side that was above politics, of all things. And so when they made this thing about politics and they brought politics into football, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it. And so why are they doing the rule change? It's easy. Why? Because their ratings are in the toilet. They literally have ratings that are going down the drain. And Roger Goodell says, enough. We give up. We give up. Trump can win for all we care. We just want our money. It always comes down to the cash. So money has spoken. And some sanity is returning to the NFL. All right, don't go anywhere for our end of the hour wrap up. Always a good part of the program. You don't want to miss it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
A a total capitulation by Roger Goodell to one Donald Trump. Okay, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And I'm looking at the letter. 10 hours ago, Roger Goodell sent a letter to the chief executives club presidents. So these were team owners and presidents of teams, the top of the top of the NFL. The creme de la creme, as one would say. And it starts, somebody leaked it, right? So it went to enough people that it got out. We live in a country that can feel very divided. Yeah, that's true. And here's the next line. Sports, and especially the NFL, brings people together and lets them set aside those divisions, at least for a few hours. Uh-huh, that's right. That's exactly what I've been saying. Right? People go to sports because they want to put politics aside. They want to put problems aside. They want to watch, you know, athletes do crazy, incredible feats on the football field. They want to root for their team. They want to forget about their nagging wives, and they want to forget about their kids, and they want to forget about a lot of stuff and just go and enjoy the game. The current dispute, the letter continues, over the national anthem is threatening to erode the unifying power of our game and is now dividing us and our players. And here's the critical line. Dividing us and our players from many fans across the country. Now, I'm going to put on my translating hat here. We're losing money. We are hemorrhaging cash. We are hemorrhaging viewers. We have fans that are going online on YouTube, on Twitter, burning their jerseys, burning their memorabilia. Our memorabilia sales, our NFL, anything branded NFL teams, anything, it's all not selling the way it used to. So this was just a terribly bad business decision. But it's the same thinking. It's the same thinking that pervades the media and pervades so many people out there right now. When it comes to Trump, remember, when Trump gets out there and says X, the knee-jerk reaction is that X is wrong, is terrible, and we're going to do exactly the opposite, and it's going to win everybody over. And do you know why that's happening? It happens because all these elitists, right? And the NFL, but the owners of the NFL are elitists, right? They are. These elitists are establishment people. They think, they believe the great lie that Trump stole the election, that it was Russians and that it was, you know, a few disgruntled white people that, you know, gave him the Rust Belt. And they really look at it as this is an anomaly, it was a fluke, and it's never going to happen again. And they're discounting true sentiments that are out there, underrepresented sentiments in every bit of every research and polling that's done. It's underreported, but it's there. And how do I know that most of these polls out there are total BS? I know it because of this, for example, this NFL thing. Because polls can lie, but money adding up on the balance sheet doesn't. That's where the rubber meets the road. And there were enough people that just were done with the NFL over this. They don't want their football players to be disrespectful social justice warriors. And really, at the end of the day, it's you know, we are a country. This is America. We are proud of our country. And, you know, just maybe you might want to give this president a little bit of a chance, because all he's doing is wanting to put America first. Not the worst thing. All right, we're off tomorrow because of the Kings game. So go Kings go. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then. We'll be right back.